Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus series Extraordinary, created by Emma Moran.
In this episode, we're covering Season 2, Episode 5, Meet the Parent, written by Emma Moran and directed by Jennifer Sheridan.
All right, so to me, more of a return to form. This is more of what I wanted to see. This is more of what I like. This is closer to what I was been shooting for.
Yeah.
Been hoping for.
I hope the rest of the season continues in this direction, because last episode was better than the one before, and this one was better than last episode. So I'm feeling good about the final three.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is that I really enjoyed, or not enjoyed, but I enjoy flashback episodes. And especially the entire concept of an unreliable narrator.
Oh, that's true.
It's a little bit different in this position, because you hear what Jen describes, and then you see what actually has occurred. But then you get a very Memento style where you see the end, and then you see, you know, various portions throughout the...
it's not linear.
Yeah, and the non-linear aspect of it really... when it all came together at the end, I was like, this makes sense. This is awesome.
It's funny because Cash's power is a little bit like a non-linear narrative, right? Because he jumps forward and back. He doesn't always know what happened in the middle. He just knows where it's going to end up. And then he discovers along with the audience.
Right.
How
his actions actually derive it, right? It's almost like a time heist.
Time heist film
where it's like, oh, well, we need to figure out, how to avoid this situation. And by trying to avoid it, you create it. And
yes.
It's very Oedipal. It was fated all along. But anyway, moving on to the recap. Penny, how about you take the Amazon recap for us?
Sure. Short version. Jen has her parents over for dinner to officially introduce them to Jizz Lord as her boyfriend. And meanwhile, Cash and Carrie try to re-enter the dating pool. Cash is having a hard time controlling his new power.
Thank you, Amazon. That was pointless. I guess that was like, I mean, that was actually better than some of like the Rings of Power ones or Wheel of Time ones.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, the travelers have a hard time. Well, yeah, thanks. No shit. It's a fucking drama. Of course they had a hard time. all right, so the more detailed recap in my fancy posh English voice. Jin recaps her family bonding night with the clinic doctor with middling success at truthfulness. Cash and Carrie, having determined that setting each other up with new dates is the perfectly logical solution, work to get each other into the dating pool. Carrie attempts to make up Cash's electronic dating profile, and Cash uses a bros night to determine if Clark is into Carrie. At family dinner, sparks fly as Jin, Jizzlord, Mary, and Ian eat dinner, sort of, play games, kind of, and the night ends with the arrival and inclusion of an unexpected guest. I guess I shifted accents in the middle of that, but whatever.
Oh, well. No one's going to complain. It's fine.
Yeah. It's like, who the hell is that? What is going on? I enjoyed this one. Like there were good comical moments. There were really great, we had a lot of time in Jen's library. We saw a lot of awesome signs, and we got a little bit better. You know, we got to the gold stars, right?
Yeah.
Give out stars to people who.
Jen made actual progress.
Well, she made progress, and then we saw it in the end credit scene, right? Or the post credit scene, but you see the light up when she's like just kind of staring down at the like glancing down at the star, and she's just so proud of herself. And you're like, oh, this is going to end poorly.
Well, yeah. Nothing ever really seems to end well for Jen, unfortunately.
That's true. That's true. I do like the at the end of this, like, that nothing was better. Like, Jen made progress. Okay, sure, that was better. But, like Mary, they didn't. She didn't go and, like, make up everything. And, you know, the... I'm hoping that it's not the end of Mary. I didn't particularly care for Mary's, you know, for Mary's inclusion in the Halloween episode, but I mean,
I love her as a character, and I do want to see more of her. So I hope she'll be back.
I just like the statement of this is, you know, he's the only parent you'll get. It makes that's me not feel a... not.
I mean, that's a horrible thing for any parent to say to their kid, but she was hurting, and I don't think it's a statement she's gonna stick to.
I hope not.
Really extreme position.
Well, I mean, and what we kind of got into last episode was, I believe it was that Andy, or when was it, the end of last episode, last season, when Andy basically didn't want her as a part of her life, and that's why she came to Jen's party. And he felt like, basically, because everything else was screwed, that was why Mary was coming to visit with Jen. And then I feel like I remember that, but I'm not 100% sure.
I don't remember that at all, so I don't know.
Precisely. Maybe it's in my head. I don't know.
Maybe that's some Greg headcanon. because I thought Mary came to the party because...
Oh,
because
Jen invited her. Right.
Jen invited her, but also because she... feels like there's a distance between her and Jen never lets her into her life. So the fact that Jen invited her, she was like, it's movement on that, right? Like, Jen isn't keeping me out. I get to come and see her home and everything. So,
and yeah. Interrogate her boyfriend and ask him if he's in the habit of knocking up women and abandoning them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's mean. Doesn't she know the story that he... had amnesia and stuff? Come on.
I mean,
that's not his fault.
I can't imagine that. You say not his fault, but I can see where if you felt like you were stuck in Rob Clutton's life, or he was stuck in his life, then he might be like, well, I'll just take a quick break.
And
then 4 years later, you wake up, you know, because of magic tits. All right, well, we will go ahead and get into our points in just a minute. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. And we are back. All right, let's get into our discussion.
Yeah.
Penny, you want to start off?
Sure. Let's start with the sort of framing device of the episode, which is Jen and her therapy and her recounting, you know, this dinner and also Cash's adventures with Clark to her therapist. And, you know, I love any moment that we get to spend in Jen's bookstore, library, whatever it is, brain space, because it just seems so much like the brain space I would create, right? Mine would be a little higgledy-piggledy and would have, like, handmade labels and weird categories of books. I was spending a little time wondering what Carrie's brain space would look like, and I imagine it would be very tidy and organized, and the categories would be what you would expect. They would be very, you know, respectable, because Carrie is a rule follower, and Jen is, you know, pretty sure she has ADHD. She seems to be a little neurodivergent. I love the bookstore space. I love that that it responds dynamically to her emotional state. Like, at one point she was thinking about something Jizzlord did, and it, like, lit up a heart behind her, and I was like, oh, that's cute. That's like what your brain does. That's adorable. There were some new categories that we got to see. Dad's bad jokes, Christmas presents, bad. Catholic guilt, history of the Regan family, which was a whole shelf, one night stands, crushes, parentheses celebrity, misheard song lyrics, There was a book called London Pubs That Don't Ask for ID. A book called Teachers I've Called Mum, which, yeah, that's just so funny because it's so humiliating. And then Book of Inappropriate Crushes. And the Book of Inappropriate Crushes was like furry and sparkly. Yep, and
pink and furry.
Awesome.
Yep.
It was so great. So fantastic. I wanted to ask you, why do you think she is lying to her therapist about her father and being dodgy about it? Like, I understand that she has issues with her father being dead. And, you know, she wishes he weren't. And she still keeps in touch with him through Carrie. But the fact that him being dead wasn't, like, part of her sort of foundational information that she gave to the therapist and that she was trying to keep it a secret was so illogical to me. I didn't really understand why she would do that. What's the gain? So, I understand not wanting to talk about it.
So I would say that for her, it's an avoiding of the pain. Mm-hmm. She has not dealt with the fact that her father has died. I am really curious, especially with the anger that Mary showed. I am really curious how he died.
Yeah,
did,
me too.
Did he kill himself? Did he leave them and then something happened to him? I want to know more
about
that.
Right, was there
some
kind of crime? Was there drunk driving?
Something to give Mary a reason to just not want to talk with him? And the reason I say that, well, one of the reasons I say that, is I just happened to recently watch the Black Mirror episode Be Right Back, which is about the loss of a spouse. And then what people will do in order to cope with that. And this was like feeding your Facebook and social media into a program that can AI your spouse's voice and your spouse's, like the idioms that they spoke and the tone of their language and their sarcasm. It can't do everything. It can't reproduce the person, but so like that's what makes me go, she's really, really upset about this. Not just the fact that he died, because many people whose spouses or family members have passed on would love nothing more than to be able to have a conversation with a loved one who had passed.
Right.
But she did not at all.
Yeah, like she was so furious.
Yeah, she was absolutely furious about it, and I think, I mean, one of Mary's lines that really made me laugh was, you know, we're robust but riddled with mental illness.
Oh yeah, that was good.
It helped during the famine, but now it's just a liability. It's like, that's really funny. just like, oh, okay, that, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also, you know, very kind of self, an understanding of self. And it was kind of a funny throwaway line. But, you know, if that is in fact a thing in their family, it's hard.
Yeah. And she's right. Jen is not ready to be a parent.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, oh, God, no.
No.
it was just like, I really did enjoy the insight into the family dynamic, and even more so than, excuse me. I mean, because we talked about it before, right? Like, Andy is 18.
Yeah.
Like, so Jen's dad has been dead for probably 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if Andy is Ian and Mary's child, then, I mean, she's 18 plus, and I imagine it was at least a while before she got remarried.
Yeah.
And that means that Jen was probably like less than 10, maybe 6 or 8 whenever her dad died.
And also, I mean, a kid's relationship with their parent is very different from a spouse's relationship.
Absolutely. And
she may not even know all the history of how her father died, right? Like, there's family legends about stuff like that, and parents tell their kids, you know, half-truths or non-truths in order to make something easier for a little kid, but then when they're an adult, it means that they don't know what the real story is.
Yeah, like I guess my grandfather's brother, like Uncle Ted, no one ever talked about him, ever. I didn't hear about him until I was in my mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, he had some problems. And so no one ever talked about him. Like, okay, well, I kind of want to know about, you know, this person that I just never knew existed. The same thing with like my parents. My parents got married and then divorced, and then like 3 years later got remarried, and then a year later had me, or two
That's
years later.
That's a story.
Had me.
Yeah, there's a story there.
Didn't find that out until I was in my mid 20s, when my aunt mentioned to me that when your parents got divorced, I was like, the what? Huh? And it was just like, oh, you didn't know.
Oh, oops.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's usually how those stories come out, too. It's like somebody doesn't know they're supposed to keep a secret.
Right. I think the biggest thing, I think my thought process on it is that she's ashamed. And this is the only real relationship that she remembers with her dad. And it's not the parent relationship that most of her friends or classmates or whatever growing up had. And it's almost like a secret. Her other friends besides Carrie may not know, or Carrie and Cash may not know that she talks to her dad, to her dead father on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And it's an embarrassment for her. Like, she can't cope. She can't understand it. She can't deal with it. And if she talks about it, that's her having to deal with it. Which is why it was a big deal when, at the end of the episode, she said, he's dead, and other things. And he was like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, here's your gold star. Yeah, that was the big breakthrough that she had, was being able to say it out loud. So, yeah, denial seems like what her issue was, but...
If you are going into therapy with the idea that you are going to improve yourself, that, and I think I've talked about this, if you're going into therapy with that initial concept, you want to be open, you want to be honest, you know the work can't happen unless you're honest. But if you are going into therapy for a different reason, i.e. to get a power, and you don't really understand what blocking, you know, hey, if I just fix my relationship with my parent or with my mom, then it'll be better. Get a power. Jen is very self-focused, very self-centered, very self, not aware, but she's very much, this is the focus and this is what I'm working towards. If all I have to do is this, I can do that. Hey, right? Self-improvement's a fucking, what'd she call it? A cakewalk,
yeah.
Or whatever. I can't remember what she said, but...
Yeah, she said it was easy at first, but of course it's not.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going in, well, why would I need to do all this other stuff? Why would I need to do this deep head work and go through the trauma and the pain that I have to go through if all I have to do is fix my relationship with my mom? It has nothing to do with my dad, like...
Yeah, she's being sort of intentionally obtuse.
Yeah. And I think that would be the reason behind it, which is, a reasonable thing. A lot of people have a hard time addressing the things that might be wrong with them.
Would you want to speak to a loved one who had passed away? That
absolutely.
You had, like, grieved 100%. And gotten past?
My little brother, absolutely. If I could...
Yeah.
If I could have a conversation with him, I'm not saying it would fix everything, but like, you know, yeah, 100%, without question. Like if I could have a conversation with him, if I had the capability to talk with him on a regular basis, mm-hmm. like that would be a godsend.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I feel like it would be really emotionally confusing, but worth it.
I think once you have addressed it and you are able to absorb you be grateful for the interaction. But if you haven't actually addressed it and you're using that as a crutch to get through, which is what I think Jen is doing, that can be basically just it emotionally traumatizing yourself even further. It's delaying maybe not the inevitable, but what will come.
Yeah. It's funny because I have been catching up on Walking Dead lately because our friends over at The Cast of Us are doing a rewatch and they're in season 2, and the barn thing has just recently happened, and I was thinking about how Herschel and Beth and Maggie had to grieve again because they were in denial that they had lost people. Certain people.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
It's just funny timing to have this and that at the same time.
Yeah. Funny is a funny word.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So, like, that's... that. I think that relationship between her and her dad, and then that was, like, it was a huge crux to this. And it was kind of, like, the big reveal at the end. And it's almost... what the doctor was saying in that, what is it that you aren't telling me?
Yeah.
Because it was the last thing that she had to reveal. Like it shows that that's the thing that she feels is the most wrong with her. And like, oh God, to have to say goodbye to your dad after having almost a lifelong relationship with him via your best friend.
Yeah, it's complicated and layered and sad. It's really sad.
I guess it wouldn't have been a lifelong. It would have been about 10 years ago, right? So only 10 years that you've been able to do this.
Well, no, not even, because Carrie and Jen are 25 and you get your powers at 18, right? Powers have been in this world for 10 years,
oh,
but
yeah.
It would be 7 years with them.
Yeah, so yeah. So, and I know that we're trying to put dates... like,
yeah.
Try to create a canon to this, a timeline to this, silly show. But
I still think there's a possibility that the end of this show is going to be some kind of it all happened in Jen's head reveal. The fact that the outside of their apartment, that the door next to it, the store is
says cash and carry.
Cash and carry. It jumps out at me every time.
Yeah, same here. Since we pointed out, like in the first couple episodes, I think you pointed out to me, and I was like, "Wow, that is crazy."
There's something about that really makes me think that we're not even seeing, like, we're seeing like something in a bubble, and we're gonna at some point the show's gonna take us outside the bubble, whether that's like there are people who are controlling everything, or you know, it's like a puzzle box show, right? Like what's really happening, except it's
what's
silly.
In the box. Yeah,
instead of it being like freaking scary, like From, it's a silly version, but it's the same thing. It's like, are they in this world because they're being experimented on? Is this the real world? Like, what is actually happening? Because there's also been all those posters and things that are like powers aren't real, and I hope we get some payoff on that soon.
All right. How about we take a hard left turn?
Yeah, okay.
All right. So let me just say, I did not hate Cash this episode.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I said it. And I, like, nothing that he did made me go, what the hell is wrong with you, man? Like, nothing. And I was just like, okay, when I went to go rewatch this, I actually was like, I'm looking forward to the Cash, you know, the Cash storyline.
Yeah, he was not being a complete tool.
Yeah, and I mean, and Clark, I thought, was great.
He's so cute. Thought,
and he was just so, like very first date-ish and, like, meek and the hey, we're sitting on the couch together watching TV and, you know, we know what's in Cash's head initially. And he's afraid of what's happening. And Clark is just like, I'm afraid of what's happening because I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And
but like, he's oh, all like, he's got that, like, that energy.
Yep.
Yeah. That is so, it's such a fun feeling. I mean, it's like scary because you don't know if the person likes you back or not, but it's also like the whole world is possibilities when you're at that point in a relationship with a new person where you're like, does he like me? Does he not like me? Are we going to kiss? Are we not going to kiss? Oh my God, he's so cute. He's sitting so close to me. Like, ah.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this? A movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
And he keeps, like, jumping up and down. He's yeah. like a jack-in-the-box. He's all jumpy and, and you know, that's yeah. why they spill the red wine and... the whole thing was just really adorable. I loved his apartment too. Really cool looking apartment.
Yeah. Well, and like, and it was funny because he did exactly what Carrie longed for Cash to do. He did, Cash mentioned the medieval helmet and, I said that this is what I always wanted to do.
I remembered.
I remembered. And he's like, okay. Like, it just like, it was so sweet. And it was, I thought it was great. That whole sequence, even when Cash was trying to, oh, have you seen my speaker? No. Oh, well, I needed to check out my record player anyway. Oh no, I made it happen.
Yeah.
Oh, red wine. Oh, here. Oh, I forgot we had that. Roja. It was like, oh no, you're doing it to yourself, man.
Yeah. So funny. Yeah, when he pulls out the vinyl of Seal and it's in the like plastic wrapper and everything, I just lost it. I was like, that's so awesome.
I mean,
I love that song too.
Oh yeah. I mean, I cannot hear that song without thinking of Batman Forever, which is. It was on the soundtrack, and it yep. was very, very popular at that particular time, and that was the first of the... I mean, I think that was the best of the silly Batman movies.
I wouldn't go that far. I
think there were only two silly Batman movies, which were Batman Forever and then Batman and Robin. So, of the two, I much prefer Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones in Batman Forever. But anyway.
I associate that song with Yellow Jackets. It's featured rather heavily in an episode in season one. And it was one of those things where this always happens to me with music that's featured on TV shows. You know, I rediscover a song that I loved many years before, and then it becomes like heavy rotation in my playlist. So there's been a lot of Seal on my sing-alongs in the car playlist lately.
It is a good song. Like, it reminds me of... just because of how kind of mainstream it became. Mm-hmm. So Linkin Park, the song from the Transformers movie, What I Become, or What I've Become, like, I listen to it and I go, this is so like mainstream, and which is not what Linkin Park was for quite some time. But I still can't help but go like, I really do enjoy it. Like, I turn it up every time it comes on.
It's a good
like,
song. Man.
But both of them are. I really liked the Cash and Clark storyline.
There's a couple of things I don't get. First of all, when we first met Clark, I was like, clearly he's gay. So the fact that none of them even thought he might be gay or anything was weird to me. But then also when he reveals, like, immediately he reveals to Cash that he's gay, Cash should have texted Carrie right away and been like, Clark is gay. It's the easiest thing to say to someone when they like someone and that person doesn't like them back. Like, it's so much easier than saying, like, he's not into you or whatever, because that's hurtful. But he's gay, and Carrie can move on, and Cash didn't do anything wrong, and, like, it's just information. I was like, why isn't he just telling her? But I guess he was so wrapped up in the trying to prevent the kiss thing, it didn't occur to him that he could do that. So
I think that is
Three's
exactly
company moment.
It's exactly what you're talking about. It's exactly what you're saying. It is, he was so into avoiding the situation of the kiss. I mean, he didn't know that he was the one who was going to initiate the kiss. But when he just pops in and he's like, whoa, what is happening? And then pops back out. He's just like, okay, well, how can I avoid this? I can just make Clark not gay. That's what I'll do. And if he's into Carrie, then he's not gay and I'm not going to kiss him. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think that was very much a, what can I do to avoid the situation that I think I might be in? Instead of, oh shit, Carrie, he's not into you because you're not a dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did. I like the fact that, like, I love the way that Clark mentioned it. So you like Carrie from work? Well, I mean, she's like not a man, so no, not really my type.
Yeah, I love his throwaway line where he's like, "I do work 6 jobs, so
yeah, yeah."
That's how he can afford to live alone. I was like, yeah, that would be helpful.
I indulge myself. and he said, "I'm not supposed to be done with work at Wadaway or whatever it was until 11, so we've got the house to ourselves."
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, back to kind of what we were talking about last time, or last episode, these seem like different personalities of Clark.
Yeah.
And when he is together, is it, or when he splits apart, does he remember, does he know what's going on elsewhere? I'm assuming not.
Yeah, it's unclear. Does he,
yeah.
Like, is he always several people, or is he sometimes only one person? And, like,
well, he's
is
so,
one of his personalities. What if one of the clerks isn't gay? Like,
Yeah, that'd be hard.
I don't know what's going on there. Maybe we'll learn more in the future. Yeah. He and Cash make a cute couple.
Yeah, I mean, it will be an awkward day at work when they are, if they do end up being a couple. But, you know, oddly enough, Carrie did end up setting him up, kind of.
Yeah. Oops.
Whoops. I thought that was a really good storyline. And it was nice not to despise Cash.
Yeah.
To not despise Cash. And I feel like he was written closer to season one this episode than he was the last couple.
Yeah.
Which is a nice change. All right, so what else you got?
The compiled lies of Jennifer Regan, the wall of cassettes. All right, that was hilarious, and how it spun around and everything, and the fact that it's read by Derek Jacobi. But I am going to have one complaint about this, which was, it was another frickin' penis joke. Oh my God. It's such low-hanging fruit to just constantly make penis jokes. I feel like it's the 80s. Like, this is just so dated and hack. It's driving me crazy. But I did enjoy Derek Jacobi's voice. He does a lot of audiobooks. He's very good.
So I'm not familiar with Derek Jacobi. I can appreciate that you feel that way. But I feel like this is also, you say low-hanging fruit, but also something that many, many people, not just women, would be able to identify with. Oh,
yeah.
Of course, these are the lies that people are going to tell. And of course, it's at 1:23 in the morning 124, 125, 126. And it's like, I understand what you're saying, but I laughed at it. I enjoyed it. It was, I would have liked to have heard more.
Yeah. I just feel like that's such rich ground, right? Like things that Jen has lied about, and
right.
they could have gotten a little more creative there, but it was just like, I don't know, not just a penis joke, but like a penis joke like we've all heard before. Like,
right.
That it's been well covered. He is a British actor. He was born in 1938. He's been a British actor for quite a long time.
Wow.
Very well respected. I think he's knighted. You might have seen him in Sandman recently or Good Omens. Let's see, what are some of his really well-known things?
I need to finish watching both Sandman and Good Omens.
Yeah, me too. I'm behind on Good Omens. I'm caught up on Sandman. Cinderella, The Borgias. I didn't watch that. I know he does a lot of theater acting. He's been on Doctor Who. Gosford Park.
Yeah, I'll go check him out.
Yeah. Anyway, he's a, you know, whatever. He's one of those people that when you see a picture, you'll be like, oh, that guy.
Oh, him. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I enjoyed hearing his voice. He does have a beautiful voice. And I enjoyed the cassette wall. I don't know if younger people than me remember that you used to go to record stores and there would be a wall like that and you could listen to music before you bought it so that, you know, you could see if you wanted to buy the tape or not. And, you know, the headphones would be wired to the wall and the whole thing. It's funny that a 25-year-old would have that in her brain space, but it worked for me. I thought it was really funny.
I think that Jen is an old soul, as indicated by the almost like rattan patterns of her library. Like, she's not in an upscale, modern, whatever,
or even just
nice
a,
in there.
Like a pub or something.
It's yeah. It's like literally just an old,
dusty old
library.
Bookstore. Yeah.
And, you know, you're right. It is closer to a bookstore because, like, all the handwritten notes. I was literally in a bookstore today, and there were a bunch of handwritten sections.
Yeah. It reminds me of, specifically, there's this bookstore in Los Angeles called The Last Bookstore that is sort of intentionally quirky and has a lot of little, like, winding shelves and overcrowded areas and it's got a real homey feeling to it, and there's a book tunnel that you can walk through and stuff.
Nice.
it's real cool, and I was like, did they film this in the last bookstore or they just copied it? I've only been there once recently with another Zedhead, and
nice.
But it's very cool.
All right, so we've talked about Jen and therapy. We've talked about Cash and Clark. We've talked about Jen and her dad. We've talked a bit about Jen and her mom. I have a couple of notes. Mm-hmm. Carrie's only real part to this was being witness to Cash's, to Cash sabotaging
yeah.
her new possible relationship. And, like, Carrie had to be, like, are you sure this is a good idea? When she's talking about when Jen wanted to bring in her dad?
Yeah, we didn't get to see that conversation after Jen says, like, I need my whole family, and then we don't see it. So we don't know if Carrie said, but your mom said she never wanted to talk to him, or if Carrie said, like, sure, no problem, you know? Like, we don't really know.
And we don't know if Martin had said something to the effect of, are you sure she wants to see me? Like, cause she hasn't talked to me in the number of years that have passed. Maybe he doesn't know how long it's been. Maybe it's just his consciousness.
He must know that Jen has aged.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, she was a little kid, now she's an adult.
Right. Again, I'd like to know more about that, but I don't know that we're necessarily going to get it in this lighthearted comedy.
Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome to turn this into a drama D, and then like explore a little bit more. And
yeah, maybe they'll do a gritty reboot in 10 years. Carrie was basically just like a plot device.
Yeah.
This week, her story didn't move forward at all. And Gislord's story didn't move forward much, but the pro-con list he was creating about Jen was hilarious. So I've got all of them.
I mean, I really enjoyed the fact that she was like, oh, he like defended me. Oh, and he talked about how awesome I was. It's just a list of all the things she's not.
Yeah.
it was so good.
Mom was charmed because he loves Jen, right? Like, he demonstrated a strong emotion for Jen, and that was enough for the mother to accept him. And that was like a true moment. I was like, okay, that was good. So his pros were great, can fit 15 grapes in her mouth, not murderer, hair, never broke a bone, kind to stray, soft and warm, snorts in a nice way, buys my food, doesn't step on snails, cooks pesto pasta. The cons were doesn't give to charity, laughed at a weird looking child, ate a donut out of the bin when she thought no one was looking, only cooks pesto pasta, isn't cool, and upsets her mother.
Is she cool? And Ian's like, no.
Yeah.
Is she smart? Yeah, not so much. As he's like reading off of the list.
She's not tall. She doesn't have money. Yeah, there's a lot. I like his pros list. I like soft and warm. Like,
I mean,
because he's a cat.
Nice. Yeah.
he's a cat. He likes to snuggle.
I'll be honest. As somebody who likes to snuggle, soft and warm is nice.
Yeah, I like soft and warm as well. That's why I have a cat, because he is reliably soft and warm. Can't always count on dudes, but kitty cats.
That's fair.
Yeah, kitty cats will be there for you.
So I will say that it had to be hard for Ian being at this very emotionally raw dinner.
Yeah.
Like, we had the kind of like the disclaimer of he just watched Marley and Me. Dog's love is so pure. but like this, like especially on top of that, now you're going to a where she's full of desperate and longing for a power for my family. And then her mom is just like, oh, this is what it is. Okay, now I get it. And like, once she, like, figured out the game, kind of like where last week, where Nora figured out the game, and she's just like, okay, well, now I'm going to take my tactic. And her tactic is full-on aggression.
Yeah. And like, she said some really mean stuff.
I hate you. I hated you first. God. Like, you raised me. A waste of time. I hate you. I hated you first. I mean, like, all of those things were just hard. Like, hard to listen to, hard to watch.
Yeah.
You that is... selfish wee bitch. Oof.
Yeah. That is a relationship that has a lot of problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, I feel like Mary is not the type of person who is willing to go to therapy or to see the other side and, you know, and see that type. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe but, we'll get to see, just, maybe she'll go see the guy that,
the doctor,
what's his name? George. Yeah. With Jen.
I mean, that'd be interesting to see.
It'd be productive.
Maybe we'll see. Let me see. What else do I have?
The digital spying.
Oh.
Wow, yeah, was that immoral. Just really, really, really over the line. And she's like, I only do it to celebrities.
Yeah, and then the fact that she basically set the kid in the candy store, right?
Yeah.
And then was like, well, it's hooked up. What you do with it is none of my business. And you're just like, oh man, that's fucking enabling as shit.
Yeah, who would be able to resist looking? I wouldn't. I'd be like, I'll just look for a second. I'd be just like Harry.
Yeah.
What can it hurt?
And then you're glued to it. Let me see. So, Cash's outfit. What the fuck? Like the fucking socks up over the pants.
Yeah.
His high-waisted pants. I'm just
He dresses like a clown. That was insane. I thought that they dressed Jizzlord crazy, but Cash's outfits are sometimes weirder.
Yeah.
Like, so many patterns. And, like, you're right. Those socks pulled up over... And maybe I'm just old and not hip. Is that, like, a cool way to dress?
I really don't think so.
Trouble believing it is.
I don't think any... What do they say in She-Hulk? Drip? Drip person?
Oh, yeah. Drip. Yeah, that's not drip. A drip broker? Yeah.
Drip broker. I don't think any drip broker has those socks or those pants.
Way too many patterns going on in one outfit. That was insane.
Yeah, that was pretty bonkers. but like Clark looked fine. Like he looked normal. Two tones of clothing, and it was good.
Yeah. Like I said, Clark is adorable.
Yeah.
Like absolutely. Adorable.
All right. You have any notes?
Not really.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Oh, I do have one quote. I'm being bullied by a fucking watch.
Yeah.
Time is making me its bitch. I was laughing so hard.
It does seem like a really horrible power when you can't control it. Like, what a nightmare.
I don't know if you saw Loki, but it was very similar to Loki.
I have not seen the second season of Loki.
In season two, it was time slipping, and it was very similar to this, where he couldn't control it, and and it was just like, oh, and it was actually, this is actually very, very similar, because there were situations where he was recognizing it, and then as you watched through and found out, as you know, as the season went on, you were like, oh, this is where that was, and this is where that was, And so, like, it makes me go, oh, yeah, this is why I like this, because I've seen it before, and I've seen it done well, and this was also done well.
It's a funny concept.
Yeah. All right, well, if that's all we have, I thank you guys so much for your patience. I know that I just got out an episode today, and you'll have to forgive us, or you don't, and that's fine, too. my oldest just graduated from high school, and
he's
off to college in the fall, and so I had to go visit him. I didn't have to, wanted to go visit him and watch him get graduated. And so, you know, it's life happens. And but we appreciate you guys joining us for the life that we have. But that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com. We're also on Facebook. Join the Facebook group. We have a lot of fun online. You'll meet a lot of like-minded souls on the Podcastica Facebook group or the Zedhead group. And that's the Patreon-only group. And, you know, we put up posts for every episode so you can send in your comments. But also, it's just a place where people like to talk about their favorite shows.
Yeah, speaking of favorite shows, I know, Penny, I think you just recorded on Shogun.
You did like a full
season recap discussion with, I think it was Sam and Jonathan.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Even though that series is not silly, it is very serious. We had a very silly time talking about it. We had a lot of laughs, and we spent 3 hours talking about 10 episodes. We easily could have talked for like another 3 to 6 hours about Shogun. Shogun is so good and so layered and so beautiful and so well made. I recommend everybody watch it and then go listen to our podcast. And we had so much fun making it. We really did.
Yeah, and I believe that I think did Mark and Ben just cover Godzilla?
Oh, I don't know, but they are covering Dead Boy Detectives.
Oh, Dead Boy Detectives. That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah, Dead Boy Detectives, which I've heard excellent things about.
Yeah, I've been wanting to start that. Opportunity. I also, a couple weeks ago, we put out a review of the movie Eternals that came out in 2021. Nobody had covered it back then on Podcastica, so Karen Rinaldi and I did that, and we love the movie, and we know that it's sort of a divisive movie among Marvel fans, and maybe if you listen to what we had to say, it might make you like it as much as we did.
Yeah, you can. So if you go to that podcast.com that Penny mentioned, you can find links to social media and stuff like that. And if you like what we do, rate, review, like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is that you have on your podcast player or whatever, helps other people find us, you know, when we do actually put out episodes. I do have another one ready to go, and we will, I'll be releasing it soon, and then hopefully this one will be out in the next few days to a week. Yeah, it's good times. Hopefully we'll be a little bit better on schedule.
So next time on this show, we'll be covering Season 2, Episode 6, Jen v. Nora, The Ultimate Showdown.
I made the mistake of watching the cold open to that.
Oh.
And I am so excited to watch that. I'm so excited. I'm so looking forward to it.
Awesome. Awesome.
But as a question for you to consider.
Okay.
Do you take milk?
No. Just tea.
But maybe you should try some milk.
Maybe I like milk, but I wasn't socialized to think it was an option.
I mean, you could try a dash, right? It's not all just black or all milk, right? Tea exists on a spectrum.
Tea exists on a spectrum.
Save big money on your next bathroom upgrade now at Menards. Check out our great selection of shower heads from Waterpik. They have innovative, sleek designs with Power Pulse, therapeutic massage for your comfort. Enjoy a better shower experience today with Waterpik. Get a 6-spray handheld shower head on sale now through April 6th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.